Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, April 14th. I'm Carrie Klein. The U.S. Forest Service announced a major reorganization earlier this month. It'll be closing its Fresno research office and dozens more, where hundreds of researchers worked.
You know, what's not clear yet from the plans that I've seen released into the public is what will happen to those researchers.
Today, we'll learn more about the potential fallout from those changes, but first, these headlines. Congressman Eric Swalwell has announced he'll be resigning from Congress following sexual assault allegations from former staffers. Shortly before that, he dropped out of the race for California governor. His departure from the race signals a major shakeup for Democratic candidates. Swalwell was among the race's top polling Democrats. California polling expert Paul Mitchell says Swalwell's exit from the race means it's less likely two Republicans get the most votes in the June primary, a possibility Democrats openly feared.
Democrats, at least right now, are probably relieved that they're not going to face two Republicans in the runoff, but they're also very anxious about what this means for the race and where voters might coalesce in the coming days around the remaining Democratic candidates.
Mitchell says the candidates most likely to pick up his supporters are billionaire Tom Steyer and former Congresswoman Katie Porter. Two candidate forums in California's gubernatorial race will be held in Sacramento today, and both will focus on Latino issues. Cap Radio's Gerardo Zavala has more.
The first is hosted by the California Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and will center largely on candidates' economic plans. Organizers say Democrats Javier Becerra, Antonio Villaraigosa, Tom Steyer, and Betty Yee, along with Republican Steve Hilton, have confirmed they'll attend. A second forum is being hosted by the ACLU, the California Immigrant Policy Center, and the Latino Legislative Caucus Foundation. That event will focus on issues like affordability, immigration, and civil rights, according to organizers. Democrats Katie Porter, Tony Thurmond, Steyer, Becerra, Villaraigosa, and Yee will be present. Republican Chad Bianco declined, and Hilton is undecided. Latino voters, a key bloc making up more than 20% of likely voters in California, remain up for grabs in a crowded race with no clear frontrunner. In Sacramento, I'm Gerardo Zavala.
Fresno Unified School District has begun covering murals of the late labor leader Cesar Chavez. This follows allegations last month that he sexually assaulted women and girls in the 1960s and 70s. According to the Fresno Bee, Fresno Unified trustees directed schools to assess their sites for murals, building names, and other tributes to Chavez. At least one mural of Chavez went up at Edison High School, and the district named a child development center after him. Spring is college decision time, and seniors from one Fresno high school have been admitted to UC Berkeley at a record rate. 34% of applicants from Edison High were accepted to be Cal Bears. That's the second highest acceptance rate in the state. Edison is known as a competitive STEM-focused school that offers extensive advanced placement classes.
Have you ever wondered how a local town got its name or why it exists to begin with? That's what we do on KVPR's Central Valley Roots. Dig into local history. Learn something new about your community. Listen to Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our main story. At a time when California is facing the growing impacts of climate change and a trend that's seen some of the state's most destructive wildfires in just the last 8 years, the U.S. Forest Service has announced the impending closure of 3/4 of its research facilities. California will be one of the most impacted states, with 6 research and development facilities shutting down, including one in Fresno. This is the latest round of cuts affecting the U.S. Forest Service, which also saw thousands of jobs eliminated last year. So, with about half of the state's forestry land owned by federal agencies, and with fire season on the horizon, what kind of impact will these latest closures have on California? To find out, KVPR's Sarith Hawk spoke with Matthew Hurtow. He's a biology professor and researcher at the University of New Mexico. He's studied forests in the Sierra Nevada for over 2 decades, and he gave some examples of the kinds of forest research happening in our region.
One of the really cool things about the experimental forests and ranges that the U.S. Forest Service manages is that they've got some special administrative kind of delineations or characterization about them, which makes them more open to doing experimental work. And so at the Tea Kettle Experimental Forest, which is between Shaver Lake and Wishon Reservoir, you know, there's a group of us that have been working at that station for many years, but the work there goes back even further. Right. So back in the 70s, there was work being done to try and understand how forest management activities influenced how much water came out of the system. In the last 25, 28 years or so, we've been trying to understand how different cutting and burning treatments influence everything about that forest that we measure. So everything from, you know, people working on soil to small mammals to the trees and everything in between.
And just so I understand how research works on the ground, how important does location factor into research work? Could these facility closures complicate it?
Yeah, so the location of the experimental forest is hugely important to asking questions about that particular forest type or range type. You know, there's the San Joaquin Experimental Range north of Fresno that the Forest Service also runs. And so these place-based locations are real important for understanding the particular ecosystem that they sit in. As far as the closures go, from what I've seen, the closures are really focused on facilities where some researchers sit. And so, you know, what's not clear yet from the plans that I've seen released into the public is what will happen to those researchers. And so, you know, I'm going to give you an example. If you have a facility that the U.S. Forest Service is, say, renting in a particular location, and they just decide that they're no longer going to support that facility, but they're going to leave the scientists geographically where they are. Mm-hmm. And then those scientists are going to be, say, situated or placed at a university or at a national forest where they work. I don't see a real problem with that in terms of impacting part of the mission of the research and development program of the Forest Service.
Right. It's more depending on what kind of place-based research is happening.
Yeah. Right, and where the researchers who do that work are located.
I'm going to turn to California here. You've spent, like you mentioned, a lot of time in the state. We're looking at the possibility of another drought year. We've already had some record-breaking heat this spring. So I'm wondering, from your view, how will these closures affect a place like California as we head into fire season?
So I don't think from a research and development perspective, you know, the short-term impacts are negligible, because think about the research apparatus as being one step removed, in that the researchers are trying to do the work that will guide, you know, future management. And so trying to answer questions that managers want the answer to, but like over the, you know, to guide the planning of the tasks they're going to do. So any management work that's going to moderate the potential for, you know, high severity fire or any kind of real wildfire hazard would have already been done coming into the season, right? At this point, it's a matter of chance or luck in any ignitions and where they start. And then, of course, there's, you know, both the Forest Service and CAL FIRE response to those ignitions.
And as a researcher, do you see other benefits from consolidating the U.S. Forest Service research facilities and headquarters?
Yeah, so I think the potential benefits could come in terms of like consolidating the administrative units. So going from these different regions down to one centralized administrative apparatus for all of research and development, that would probably streamline some things. As far as closing particular offices, you know, that really depends on what happens with the researchers that work in those facilities, and are they, you know, kept in that geographic location and then housed in another entity like a university or a national forest so that they're still close to their work? Or, you know, are they forced to move? And if they're forced to move, that would be not great for continuing research, but, you know, this very much place-based research.
And to zoom out a bit, this is not the first shakeup at the U.S. Forest Service under the Trump administration, especially that, the DOGE cuts we saw last year. Have you heard from any other researchers or colleagues about their reaction to this closure?
I can tell you what I observed. And so what I've observed starting last year is that a number of folks who were closer to retirement in research and development and could retire early did. There are also people who, because of the government shutdown and stuff like that, and the lack of certainty about where the agency is going, there are folks who've left the agency and taken positions in universities and stuff like that. And then, of course, there's also, I have colleagues who are, they sit in geographic locations where it's pretty clear that those were going to be retained because there's lots of scientists in those locations. Mm-hmm. And, they're continuing to do their work. So it really, in part, depends on the personal situation of that scientist.
And what will you be keeping an eye out for as the impacts of these changes become more evident in the future?
I have a number of really close collaborators that work for the agency in the research and development branch. And part of it is making sure I know how changes are going to impact them as individuals, and then thinking about what we need to do to accommodate some of those impacts in terms of our collaborations. And then the other thing I'm going to keep my eye on is indeed what's going to happen with the experimental forests and ranges, because I think those are a really critical piece of research infrastructure that I think, most people don't understand exists, but that's some really, the establishment of those units was really forward thinking, and they have become critical to doing the kind of work that's necessary to figure out how to best manage our forests and rangelands.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to keep our eye on. Matthew Hertow, biology professor and researcher at the University of New Mexico, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
That was KVPR's Sarith Hawk speaking with Professor Matthew Hertow. And that's today's show. Do you enjoy listening to Central Valley Daily? Support the show by leaving a 5-star rating in your podcast app. Thanks for your support. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Carrie Klein. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.